become new. And notice here again that that verse goes on that says that all of us are supposed to be, now that all things are new, we're supposed to be ministers of reconciliation. That's our job. That's our only job, is to be ministers of reconciliation. So we just sang, seeking the lost ones He died to redeem. Let's be about that business, even this week before our revival next week. Bringing the weary to find rest in Him. Again, bring them in. Bring them in from the fields of sin. And then look at the chorus. O Jesus, Lord and Savior, I give myself to Thee, for Thou in Thine atonement. Boy, it's good to have your sins atoned. That means they're gone. Gone, 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 gone. Yes, my sins are gone. Buried in the deepest sea. Yes, that's good enough for me. Thou in Thine atonement didst give Thyself for me. Remember the substitute that was made for your sin debt. I own no other master. My heart shall be Thy throne. I love the Lord my God with all my heart, with all my soul, with all my mind. And Jesus added, with all my strength. And so again, my life I give henceforth to live, O Christ, for Thee alone. Good to have a Lord Jesus Christ in our life. Happy Mother's Day again as we go on in our Mother's Day service. I just wanted to rehearse that hymn. I'd rehearse all of them that we sang today again, but I trust you get the point again that when we're singing here again, it's not just something that we're occupying. We are again giving praise to Him and edifying. We're to be edified even by the hymns that we sing here. We went Friday night to a youth rally. I love going to youth rallies. I've been a youth pastor for 20 years, and it makes me feel like a teenager to go to a youth rally. And where's Zach? Zach was in the choir in youth rally over there at Alpine. He got up singing the choir. I didn't see him sing. In fact, he was always very careful to hide behind somebody. I don't think anyone even knew you were there, Zach. And then you completely disappeared from the tenor section. I don't know what that was about, but you decided you wouldn't be a tenor.
Because in school, they have me with the
bass. Ah, okay. Yeah, that's quite the opposite trend there, is the bass and tenor. So he disappeared, and it took a while to find him again. But boy, they had a choir over there. And that was just out of the audience, grab all the teenagers and make them a choir. That was just a great time. But boy, they had a, what they call that, a young at heart choir. And boy, just the singing over there. It was well worth it to spend 2 hours over there just to hear the singing. Praise the Lord. And so I appreciate again. There are some churches in our area here that do have young people, do have families. And boy, it's good to be over there and just rejoice in that. But again, our singing, sometimes we need to pay attention to it. I know we don't have all the talents and abilities and piano players and such here. But again, it's an important part of our worship, is our singing, lifting up His name. And it's important to our edification as well. So let's open, as we said, our Bibles to Proverbs chapter 31. And I had an 18-point message to preach, but we got through some of them already again. And the thing about pastoring here for 20 years is most of you heard all my Mother's Day messages. Some of you might even remember the day that I said, on Mother's Day I'm going to preach to fathers, and on Father's Day I'm going to preach to mothers. And so I like that. I almost did that again this year, you know. When you preach to moms, sometimes they leave church feeling bad. I didn't want them feeling bad on Mother's Day. And when you go through this list of who can find a virtuous woman, again, there's some qualities in there that all of us fall short on. And so this is going to tromp on our toes a little bit here for all of us, but it's good for us just the same. And so how many of you got listed in your margin? All I preached this before with 21 points. Did anyone get all 21 points before? Didn't number them all? Okay.
Six.
All right. So just dribble them down the margin of your Bible. Then you can say, hey, you already preached that again in the next 10 more years. 11? All right. So let's go ahead and look at Proverbs 31. What a tremendous chapter. And Let's go ahead and stand for the reading of God's Word in Proverbs 31. And we'll read the half that we didn't read in our responsive reading here together. And so that's verses 1 through 10. And while I'm reading this, I want you to pick out my other Mother's Day messages, 10 things that Lemuel's mother taught. No, 7 things. 7 things I'm going to read here in this section of things that Lemuel's mother taught him. Watch for them. Pick out 7. Maybe you already have them numbered in the margin of your Bible. If you've been here with me for a while. Proverbs chapter 31. The Bible says the words of King Lemuel. The prophecy that his mother taught him. Bible says, despise not prophecy. Someplace in 1 Thessalonians. And so that's the first thing that his mother taught him, by the way. If you didn't get that. Verse 2. What, my son? What the son of my womb? What the son of my vows? Give not thy strength unto women, nor thy ways to that which destroyeth kings. It is not for kings, O Lemuel, it is not for kings to drink wine, nor for princes strong drink, lest they drink and forget the law and pervert the judgment of any of the afflicted. Give strong drink unto them that is ready to perish, and wine unto those that be of heavy hearts. Let them drink, and forget his poverty, and remember his misery no more. Verse 8, open thy mouth for the dumb in the cause of all such as are appointed to destruction. Open thy mouth, judge righteously, and plead the cause of the poor and needy. Who can find a virtuous woman? For her price is far above rubies. Father, praise you again and thank you. Thank you for Lemuel and your finger on his heart, that he would again write here in the Proverbs of Solomon such wisdom as you would have for us even here on this Mother's Day. Pray again that you'd bless. As we would look at your word, may it again divide our thoughts and intents of our heart, bone and marrow, and touch us with your hand. Even through these powerful scriptures, we'll give you all the praise. In the name of Christ, we pray it. Amen. Amen. You may be seated again. I like this message. And so I'll try and hurry through it and get 18. I'm not going to get 18 points in 18 minutes, however. So if you have a roast on, expect it might be a little overdone. At noon, all right. How many's going out to dinner today? Are we going out to dinner? All right. There's a few of us, all right. It's an awful thing to take moms home and make them cook dinner for you again. And so appreciate again that we could do that as well here. But as we look at that again, as we honor our moms and think about Mother's Day, here we have this list of qualities of a, and then I left it blank because I wanted to preach this message not just to moms, but to all of us can learn some things from this 18 list again. And so the verses are numbered 11 through 28 here. Each one of them has a virtue or a quality here of a godly a woman, a virtuous woman. And as we look at that list of 18 verses here, again, let's go ahead and consider that all of us could learn something here from the integrity that's in this virtuous woman that's described here. So we looked again at Lemuel, and Lemuel, I've heard people say in some of my books say that Lemuel was a pen name for Solomon. But when I read this, I think this is not Solomon. It's not his style. It's not his person. And so I don't think this is a pen name for Solomon at all. I think King Lemuel, again, was someone, and he could be given a false title because we haven't found any kings called Lemuel, certainly in Judah or Israel. But again, we do find him labeled with this idea that he is king. And I've kind of, in my mind anyway, substituted that he's kingly, at least. And so here we have Lemuel, who's not a Solomon, who's not endued with much wisdom. My favorite proverb, again, is the one before, and that's a proverb, the words of Agar, again, that I always enjoyed. But Lemuel is the same. These last two, again, are not Solomon. Solomon had some things to learn about women, and he did not learn them. And so I can look at the first instruction here given by Lemuel's mom and say, no, that's not Solomon. Solomon never got that from his mother. That was, in fact, his downfall. And so notice again the commands that are given here from mom. First off, it's prophecy. And again, I'll emphasize that prophecy is not someone doing some magic or hearing from God or falling into a trance or some of the other things. Again, prophecy is just saying, thus saith the Lord. So it's good for a mom to have some prophecy. Thus saith the Lord. In fact, my mom could give chapter and verse for most of the thus saith the Lord she rebuked me with. And so, the prophecy. What my son, what the son of my womb, and what the son of my vows. We used to sing a song when I was a kid that said, first comes love, then comes marriage, then comes Eddie with the baby carriage again. And so, notice that there is an order to things here, and it includes vows. And so, vows, again, is emphasizing the importance of marriage. I got a whole message I preach on that one verse alone. Give not thy strength unto women, plural. And then verse 4 on down through, notice again that it's not for us to be drinkers. And that's the bulk of this message right here. Stay away from wine. Well, Jesus made wine. Stop it. Okay, don't even listen to them when they say that. They're apostate. They're off again trying to defend their own ways. The Bible, Jesus made wine, but the Bible says that Jesus wrote, says, look not on wine when it is red and giveth its color in the cup. Alas, it biteth like a serpent and stingeth as an adder. And so, again, the instruction here from mom, stay away from the bottle. Number 5, open thy mouth. Number 6, open thy mouth. And number 7, is where we're spending our time today. Who can find a virtuous woman? And then he goes and he gives a description of this virtuous woman. Some have said it's probably a description of his mom. Could be. It could have been a description of the virtuous woman he did find. I'm not sure. But this list, again, is engulfing. And so let's look at the 18 qualities given here in this list. And as we look at them, just one at a time, and going down through all 18, my other outline I started out as number 1 was that she's priceless. But that's not really a quality again. And I worded this around so I got a list of 21 different things. I'm just going to do with the 18 that's listed there again and look at them and at least understand the structure that's given here. And so that we, anytime we want, we could pull out this Proverbs and list 18 qualities. Here they are. Number 1 is in verse 11. So if you take a verse and subtract 10 from it, you have the number of the listing, okay? For example, number 27, subtract 10. That would be quality number 17. Y'all with me? Does that help? Okay. I like lists. That's just the way I am. Especially when I'm preaching, I like good lists again. And this is a list of 18, so it helps again to see the numbering here. So let's look at number 1. The heart of her husband doth safely trust in her, so that he shall have no need of spoil. To be trustworthy. And again, what I did is I went down through here, and as best I could, I grabbed a word that captured the quality that was described in the verse. It's a good exercise to do. And it would be good for you to go down through that list and say, yeah, what is the quality here that's given in this verse? And come up with a word to do it. I'll give you mine again. But sometimes it's good for us just to think through these things ourselves. And here's one who's trustworthy. You know, all of us should be trustworthy. What does that mean to be trustworthy? A man of their word. Here, a woman of their word, a mom that's of their word. You know, in child discipline, it's good to be trustworthy. When a child has bought and paid for a good whipping, they ought to be getting a good whipping, okay? Because when we're trustworthy, we follow through. And if we said something, then that's the way it's going to be. it's amazing, again, even in our child rearing that we see with Spock and the modernist ideas, is that no, you coax your children into good behavior. No, coaxing is not it. We discuss with our three-year-old why they shouldn't kick mom in the shins. No, that's not a discussion matter again. Notice again that being trustworthy, especially when it comes to child rearing, to being a mom, is again something that calls out for consistency as well. And so here the husband can safely trust in her. My mom had this saying that we all dreaded. It was called, "Wait till your father gets home." Okay. And if my mom ever said, "Wait till your father gets home," she could be trusted that, hey, when father got home, something was going to happen again. And so, trustworthy. As far as parenting, as far as being a mom again, we want to make that application. Here again, notice that it is that her husband does safely trust in her. And trust is something that's earned. And trust is something that's easily broken. And once it's broken, it's hard to repair. You can't duct tape it back together, guys. Trustworthy, again, is something that is earned. Verse 12, number 2. She will do him good and not evil all the days of her life. She will do him good and not evil. Evil does you good. Hold your place there and turn back a couple chapters to Proverbs chapter 17. Proverbs chapter 17. I connected this verse in here because I was reading Proverbs 17 at the same time. I was putting this together and said, hey, I just seen something like that. Look at Proverbs 17 and verse 22. It says, "A merry heart doeth good like a medicine." A merry heart doeth good like a medicine. Opposite, but a broken spirit drieth the bones. Here we have a quality of a mom. Here we have a quality of this virtuous woman, of a wife, where she brings a merry, does him good. And listen, to be joyful, to laugh together. To again recognize it. I mean, if everything is always so serious that you can't laugh about things, then you're too serious. We read in Titus that we're supposed to be sober. But again, there is a time again for jesting. There is a time again for making merriment. And notice again that does a husband good, ladies. That does good, again, if all we get, again, is just dread and woe from somebody. Notice again that dries the bones. What did that verse say? It drieth? What did that verse say? 22. Drieth the bones. Is that what it said? What's that mean, drieth the bones? That's pretty serious stuff, huh? Drieth the bones. Think of a dry... barren land and cracked and broken again, the dryness of life. And so the idea there again, that the opposite of that again is that there's no merriment. And so it doeth good. If you want to do your husband good, if you want to do your family good, it does take a good sense of humor sometimes in life. And I just toss that in on my way by. But again, to be a do-gooder, she doeth him good and not evil all the days of her life. Verse 13, she taketh wool and flax and worketh willingly with her hands. A theme, and I'll just bump into it several times and not preach every one of them, but a theme that continually shows up here is that she's busy. She's always busy. From before daylight until after dark, she's busy. She's got something going on. And we see some integrity that keeps showing up here. But especially the fact that there's a diligence, there's a busyness with each one of these as being the emphasis. Number 3, she seeketh wool and flax and worketh willingly with her hands. Notice again, especially maybe guys here, it isn't working willingly with your thumbs, okay? It's working willingly with your hands. I just saw someplace a post some about outside and it was prisoners get 2 hours of outside exercise time, and that's way more. That's better than double what our children get as far as being outside and doing something. And so we're in trouble in our society. So notice here again that we're busy about doing things and working with our hands. All of us could learn something about that, about staying busy. She is like the merchant ship and bringeth her food from afar. I got diligent with markets. That was what, number four. I got far-reaching. I was talking to a fellow this week, and he said, you know, he was born in Dresden and lived in Dresden all his life, but he did get out of town. He did have a job that took him all over the world. He said after he went all over the world, it was hard to come back here and just live. He worded that much better than Bev and I could, but we noticed the same thing. After we've been all over the world and see how all the world, especially around all the military places and the discipline and the life, coming back here is like being in a foreign land. It's like, I can't understand it. I just can't relate lots of times to how people can do what they do just to go on and on with an existence here that doesn't, again, carry some of the integrity, some of the vitality that's described here. So notice again that there's a far reaching, having a knowledge again of other places and using that to her advantage. Number five is she rises also while it is yet night and giveth meat to her household and a portion to her maidens. Takes care of things and gets up so early in the morning that it's not light out yet. That's what, 5 o'clock, it was light out this morning. Okay, I watched the sunrise this morning. The sunrise is what, 5 o'clock? When's it sunset? At like 8 o'clock? We got like 15 hours of daylight to work in now. And so this verse right here would be taxing right now. If you're going to get up before daylight, you got to get up pretty early to do that. Now in the wintertime, that's fine. You can just lay around, get up at 10 o'clock, and you're up before daylight. But notice here again, the idea is that we're busy. We're about a business. We're about doing things again. And we get up. I had someone tell me, I'm not a morning person. You could be a morning person. Anyone could be a morning person. I've seen people get up at 4 o'clock in the morning to go hunting. Suddenly, they were a morning person that day. What's that about? I'm not a morning person. Listen, you're not a morning person because you're not training yourself to be a morning person. Anyone could become a morning person. And it'll go on here and we'll hit another one where she's also an evening person. Keeps on going. Let me just pick a few of the other ones. Verse 16, number 6, this would be, she considereth a field and buyeth it. With the fruit of her hands she planteth a vineyard. Notice again the diligence. Notice the entrepreneurial spirit. I've had someone say, well, she needs her husband's permission to do this stuff. Not in an entrepreneurial spirit, again. Notice again that she's taking precautions. She's doing things on her own. Again, she's ventured out into even businesses here in this description. I like verse 17. She girdeth her loins with strength and strengtheneth her arms. That doesn't mean she's a bodybuilder. Okay, that doesn't mean she's going to the gym to do this. Notice that you can have strength that's not necessarily talking about muscle build. Someone who is a strong woman, someone who is a strong, doesn't mean they're even pushy to get their own way. And so think about that, what that means to have a strength. And inner strength is often talked about in the Bible. She perceiveth. I like that. One of the reasons why I needed to be married, and guys, if you're here, you need to be married for the same reason again. He who findeth a wife findeth a good thing, because they have a wife has a perception that you don't have. They perceive things differently. And they perceive things that you will miss entirely. And again, guys, we need to learn to take advantage of that, to use that, and to, again, value that opinion in a wife. Lots of times, again, I and my wife perceive a situation completely differently. And it's good to get together, and you often find, again, that a woman has a better perception, especially of people, of situations. They perceive things that we don't necessarily see, guys. And so notice, again, it's mentioned here as number 8. Let's go to number 9. It's talented, is what we said there in our reading of this. She layeth her hands to the spindle, and her hands hold the distaff. Anybody know what a spindle and distaff is? Got to go back to our agricultural days again. In fact, a little further back than that.
Isn't it like a the thing that holds the wall, right?
Okay, yeah.
What do they call that? A shuttle.
Okay. I think a shuttle is used in weaving, though, isn't it?
Yeah.
So a spindle and a distaff. Both of them would hold the wool, or in normal case, the flax here. It's interesting that flax, they've never built a machine that can do this to flax. And so, again, if you have something that's made, does anybody know what you get if you spin flax together, make a thread, and then weave it into a pair of underwear, you end up with?
Cotton.
Linen underwear. Cotton. No.
Polyester.
And so that's what they come up with, again, is all these artificial things for underwear. We got cotton underwear now, I guess, but linen underwear. And the thing about linen, again, is some excellent qualities of linen is that, I don't want to get on too far on a side road, but linen, the more it's exposed to the sun, the whiter it gets. Cotton, the more it's exposed to the sun, the yellower it gets again. And it starts breaking down again. And so if you leave it out in the sun any length of time, linen is the opposite of that. It's a plant, flax, a plant. And so, anyway, normally they would take flax or wool or even cotton fibers, and they would hold them wrapped around a distaff, okay? And so that's the thing that holds, like, the raw material, the distaff. What would the spindle then be?
What makes it into the
Yeah, okay, that's where you spin the thread. Again, if you look at a piece of thread, again, it's spun around itself. It's just a whole bunch of little short fibers, but they're all spun around itself to get its strength. And so the spindle is what they would use to spin, and the distaff is what they would use to hold the raw material and would just keep spinning. When he was down in Peru, it was always wandering around the streets, and all the ladies would be sitting at the farm market. They'd all be sitting around there, and they'd have a big batch of wool there from the llamas, and they would be spinning it with a little hand spinner. Okay, they got really fancy. They got the pedal one with the big wheel that spins, and what's that called? The spinner, I guess they called it. And so they would spin that. And so notice again that they're industrious even in their off times. They're busy here. It's not just talented. It's, again, that they're always busy doing something productive. You compare that to our own time. I know I come home and I say, man, I'm just dead. And I sit in front of the idiot box for 3 hours. That's not very productive, is it? No. In fact, it's counterproductive generally, again. And so, again, keep in mind this idea that we're always busy doing something productive rather than just killing our time. And that's, again, in this qualities of a virtuous woman. Number 11, which would be in verse 21. She is not afraid of snow for her household, for her household are clothed with scarlet. Notice that it's more than being fearless and worry-free about the snow, about the weather, and not fussing again. That again, there's a calmness here, but it's that they're dressed in scarlet. What would that imply?
The color of their clothes.
Yeah, scarlet. What would that imply?
What? Isn't that the best?
The best, yeah. It's like royalty again, clothed in scarlet. And scarlet, again, is one of the colors that shows up in the tabernacle, again, to picture, again, what Christ did, the scarlet. It's a combination of of a very deep red. It's almost what's beyond red when you can't see red anymore. Infrared, where it starts turning black, and that's where it goes into the darkest. And so again, it's a rare thing, and it was highly valued. And so the clothing here, that scarlet, is highly valued, carefully wrought clothing she maketh. And then look at the next one. She maketh herself coverings of tapestry. Her clothing is silk and purple. And I wrote down in the margin of my Bible there that she is royally appareled. She's got royal apparel. You ever seen a good dresser? Never mind that. You ever seen a sloppy dresser? This is not a sloppy dresser, again. This is careful. This is thought out. This is royally apparelled. And you can go on down through the list there again. I've kind of run out of time picking out a few of them. But you can see again that each one of them portrays some aspect of a virtuous woman. And each one of those would be coveted on our part. Something that we could probably spend a time with this list of 18, improving our own outlook on life, our own busyness in life. And again, the emphasis that I come out every time I read through this list of 18 is the fact that I need to be more busy. I need to spend less time sitting around with my foot elevated. The doctor's going to disagree with me on this one. Or if I am sitting around with my foot elevated, I need to have a spindle and a distaff and be busy doing something anyway again. And so notice again that the emphasis here for a virtuous woman is two things. Number one, it's an integrity. And number two, it's industrious. Always busy. Always occupied. And so we see that. There's probably a third quality here that I don't have worded out nice and neatly. But one of them here comes again in verse 20, which would be item number 10. She stretcheth out her hand to the poor. Yea, she reacheth forth her hands to the needy. So a third quality that would certainly be characterized in here would be the fact that there's a compassion. They're compassionate. And boy, we need that. We have become such a selfish generation, always concerning about ourselves, with little compassion for others, with little understanding of even where others are coming from. Let's jump down to the last of the list, number 28. It's quality number 18. Her children rise up and call her blessed. Her husband also, and he praiseth her. Notice again that is a quality that's purchased. That is a quality, again, here, that's as a result of this whole list that comes again, is that there's a result in that, again, she is cherished. Cherished by her children and called blessed. Remember, blessed, again, has that idea that when you are blessed, when you say God bless you, you're asking God to do something for that person that they cannot do for themselves. And so she is blessed here again. They call her blessed, implies again that there's things that God has done for her that she couldn't have done for herself. And certainly we understand that this list here is not, boy, if I just could go through this checklist, I'd be a better person. Listen, you can't achieve this checklist. You can't be that better person until first you have that old nature destroyed within you and you learn to die daily to that old nature and you put on the new nature in the Lord Jesus Christ. And you only do that when you have a new nature inside of us. And so we have a checklist here of things. And as we go down through that list, understand this, it's impossible to live up to this list without the Lord Jesus Christ making us into a new creature in him. And then all things are possible. And so notice again here a tremendous listing. And all of us again could pick some things out here and say, I could improve in that. Our moms again, there's things again here that we may have overlooked in our mom. And that's okay. because there's no perfections here. We're not sinless perfection. We haven't arrived. And neither has our mom. And so again, as we understand, God's listing here, understand that some of us have moms that have some tremendous qualities. And we're to lift them up. We're to honor them. And we're to bless them. And again, praise them. Even that's what we're doing here on Mother's Day. Look at this last closing here. And this is not the list. The list kind of ends there in verse 28. And then it has kind of a conclusion of the matter, 29 through 31, where it says, many daughters have done virtuously, but thou, and there again, Lemuel is talking to somebody, probably his mom, that gave him the instructions that started here, but thou excellest them all. Then it says, favor is deceitful and beauty is vain. But a woman that feareth the Lord, she shall be praised. Notice again that all the emphasis of our society, all the emphasis of our old nature is on those first two things, favor and beauty. And not so much on the latter thing, the fear of the Lord. She shall be praised. Verse 31, give her of the fruit of her hands, and let her own works praise her in the gates. Praise the Lord again for a list like that. And as I just bumped into several of them, let's go ahead and make sure that we can have some improvements and make sure that we can honor our moms on this day and rejoice in a mom who has filled pieces of this list again. And caused again that we've had an upbringing that points us to the Lord Jesus Christ. Father, praise you again and thank you. Thank you for Lemuel. Thank you for what he wrote here, probably about his mom. And as we read through the list, Father, all of us again are found a little lacking in areas of our own lives. But we praise you again and thank you, Father, for the a virtuous woman that's described here. And know again that it is certainly to describe the church. Your virtuous spouse. And as we consider again that listing, I pray again that you touch this church, that we could be industrious even like these, that we could again have a compassion even like is mentioned, that we could again have an integrity even in our purpose, Father, that would reflect in this list. And be with us as individuals, Father, that we could again pursue holiness. We'll praise you now and thank you, Father, for touching us on Mother's Day. Pray a special blessing on the moms that are here. Pray a special blessing on the moms that are with you. And Father, as we lift up praise to our moms, some of them, again, have to have that received, bounced off of you because they're in your presence. And we'll praise you and thank you for touching moms everywhere on this Mother's Day. Thank you again. For the worship of your only begotten Son, the change that you'd bring into our lives that cause, again, that we could honor moms, but also, Father, that we could look to you and know, again, that you've started a great work in lives here and that you've promised to continue it to the end. And we'll thank you again and praise you, Father, for your blessing on our worship this day as we, again, strive to lift up your Son in all that we say and do. We'll give you the praise. Bring us back at the appointed time. In the name of Christ we pray. Amen, amen. All right, praise the Lord. Let's just go ahead and dismiss here today. Appreciate